So at the outset, as I mentioned, at the very beginning, this is somewhat of a paradoxical solemnity in the Catholic Church, where we declare a crucified man king of the universe. Because it doesn't make a whole lot of sense when looking at a cross, it appears that we're looking at a very defeated man, someone that was cast aside, cast out, and actually cast under. And a lot of times then what can happen is we start to think, well, if he's the king, then what I have to do is become a rug for everyone to just walk over me. And no, that's not what's going on here. Because what we really have, when you start to meditate upon the cross, I think we all begin meditating on the cross from a more worldly perspective. And with the eyes of the world, that is nothing that you want to be like. When you look at the cross, you don't want to be like that at all in worldly terms. Because think about it. Think about what's happening in our world today. And it's always happened in our world. Jesus said it at one point, the poor you're going to have with you always. Now, that's on us. That's not because he doesn't want to get rid of the poor and see that they're cared for. No, it's we who keep the poor in our midst. And he knew our human nature well enough to say, you know what, you're always going to have the poor with you, because you're never going to really go after this and deal with it in a very definitive way. See, that's on us. That's the world in which we live. This is a world in which the powerful prey upon the weak. We have this recent phenomenon. I don't recall it. I mean, we always had bullies, but I think it's on the rise in our culture. We've had to deal with it in our school over here. I know there's other students who have had to drop out of public schools because they were being bullied so much. There you have seemingly more powerful preying upon weaker for their own entertainment. Now, it gets worse as we get older, of course. Abortion is a great example of the powerful preying upon weak, innocent human beings in the womb. That's a very great power differential. And we're even trying to make that a human right. What? See, that's the world we live in. The world we live in also is indifferent to you when you suffer. That has nothing to do with me. It's your problem when you're suffering. The world in which we live will lie to your face when you are attempting to be honest, even if you try to be honest. I mean, don't we all come to that point in life where we say, gee, I was trying to do it so well, and I'm not getting return on my investment. And you start to say, boy, the world is not fair. And you know what? That's true. It's true. You can put in honesty and still meet a lot of lying and dishonesty and conniving, and people maybe even behind your back plotting against you. Sometimes even without cause. This is the world in which we live. This stuff happens. I'm not trying to be pessimistic about the world or anything. No, I'm just stating the truth. I don't know about you, what world you live in, but I know I've experienced those things, and it's not pleasant. It's not easy. It's actually quite difficult. And we do suffer, don't we? Don't we suffer those kinds of things? And that's what evil is. Evil, we do suffer when we encounter evil. Now see, what's happening as Jesus is going up Calvary, he is trampling under his feet that world. That's what he's doing. I know it looks like he's very weak and everything, but you don't see him taking out his sword like Peter did, right? When Jesus got arrested, Peter pulled out his sword and went whack, cut off a guy's ear. He was ready to go and like start chomping people to death. And Jesus says, Peter, stop. Why is that? Because Jesus is trampling our world under his feet. By going to the cross, he's beginning to reign over our world. By saying, I want nothing of that world in me. And I'm going to go non-cooperation totally. And you don't do that without a lot of strength. You don't do that without a lot of strength. I mean, let's face it, again, our first pope pulled out his sword and was ready to start chomping on people with the sword, killing people. What? Yeah, we feel the same in our own lives. We start to want to excel in the ways of the world, and we'll begin to participate in that world out there. And what's most unfortunate is the way in which we'll even educate our children to get ready to become worldly and get in there and start pulling people down as they raise themselves up. This is the challenge. Now see, this is what's happening on Calvary then. Jesus is beginning his reign over this world with which he had no participation in its machinations. He had no part in its deceptions. He had no part in its preying upon the weak. What he actually does in today's gospel is say, I'm identifying myself with the weak people that are left behind, that are neglected, forgotten, and left out. That literally turns this world upside down. That's what it does. That's what it does. And see, what Paul is saying in today's second reading, he's saying that Jesus must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. That began on Calvary. All his enemies he was placing under his feet. And the weapons with which he fought were the antithesis of what this world says we must adopt. Kindness. He forgave us from the cross. And what is the victory ultimately? The victory is the victory for love. So I guess in order for me to get on in this world, I have to become cold in my heart. Yeah, okay, have at it. Good luck. Good luck. It won't be hard. It won't be hard to become cold. That's easy. It's really easy to be a cold-hearted human being. And you know that's true. We've all met them. What's the greatest challenge facing us? The one Jesus Christ presents by going up Calvary in total 110% non-cooperation with everything the world has to offer. And we say, nah, I don't think I want any part of that. Well, then you'll be on the left at the end of the world. Because that's where it ends up. The righteous are on the right. The righteous. Who are the righteous? The ones who excel in love. Because you're not going to be permitted into the heavens if what you're going to do is start preying upon the weak and beating people up and bullying everybody, and you have your privacy with this little bit of Wi-Fi in the corner. No, no, it's the communion of saints, which is a communion of love. And the people that are most highly regarded in that community are the martyrs, who themselves went 100% non-cooperation with this world, even to the point of shedding their blood. I don't want to have that, Father Dan. Well, brothers and sisters, this is what we're faced with. This is what we're faced with. When we look at a cross, it is challenging, I'll tell you that much. This is not a one-and-done deal. You don't just like make one decision and then be kind to someone. Because even the righteous don't know when they fed Jesus or when they were kind to him or when they visited him. I mean, one of the ways we can clothe the naked is to refuse to gossip about someone in the office. What does that do? You're taking them down. You're taking their clothes off and shaming them and making fun of them. Well, you know what? I'm going to clothe the naked and not go there. I'm not going to go there. That's saying no to the world. And the other thing about this, of course, is, you know, there's no way you and I can do this on our own. It's absolutely impossible. It is. It's impossible. Maybe you've been one of those kind of people that has been the recipient of a great deal of this kind of evil in our world, and you're wondering, how in God's green earth am I ever going to come back from that? If you're there right now, I've got news for you. Jesus is right in your corner. And he's God, and he can get you out. He will get you out. He will help you out. Maybe you're one of those that puts people in places like that. I don't know. But we are being called to conversion if we are. We're called to conversion by the grace of Christ working in us. Because Jesus now reigns over this world. This whole world in which you and I now live is at the feet of the crucified. Because he completely defeated it by not participating in its connivings, its manipulations. He took no part in it. He was true blue the whole way. And this whole world is at his feet right now, and he must reign until all his enemies are under his feet. And then he'll take the kingdom, hand it over to the Father, and that'll be it. And I'll just tell you right now, one of my projects in life, and it is a lifelong project, by the way, because life throws curves at us. Unless you're living in a bubble, you're going to meet evil. It will happen. And I'm not being pessimistic. I'm being truthful. You're going to meet it. And that, my brothers and sisters, is where life gets challenging. Will I be overtaken by the evil I encounter so that I myself begin to excel in the ways of the world? Or will I go the path of Jesus? I think all of us have known that place, at least at one time or another. Maybe to some more or less degree, certainly not all to the same degree, but we all know, you know what I'm talking about. It's that moment of decision in our lives when we make the call. Which way are we going to go? And I, for one, will admit to you, I'm at least going to try to stay at the feet of Christ in adoration, love, and yes, mercy for the times I fail. Because that's what life's all about, brothers and sisters. We are meant to follow Christ. We are disciples of Christ. And when you become a disciple, you'll begin to make a difference in this world because you will be trampling it under your feet as well by saying no to its machinations. No. No, not today. Not today. I refuse. Because I want to follow Jesus. I want to be more loving than cynical. I want to be more kind than bullying. I want to be more helpful than pulling people down. I'd like to become part of the solution instead of the easy part of the problem. And the way to that, brothers and sisters, is Jesus Christ, King of the universe.